I try to put everything else apart and say, Lord, speak to us this morning. Speak to us in a mighty way. So let's ask Him. Father, as we open up this scripture, Lord, you know that I'm scared to death. I've prayed. I've prepared. I've been distracted. But yet, Lord, this is your moment to take these words and breathe them back on your children and allow them to be encouraged, challenged, strengthened, rebuked, and corrected. Use these words, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in John chapter 12, verses 27 through 50 this morning. And there we're going to talk about the light again. Jesus has used this theme several times so far, but there in John chapter 12, verse 27 through 36, we read about him setting up that light. And so if you follow along as I read there in 27 through 36, Jesus is speaking, and let me just remind you where we're at. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus has just got done saying that unless a grain of wheat die and fall into the ground, it abideth alone. So he's talked about death. Death is very prevalent in this conversation. And so with that in mind, we start reading. Jesus saying, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said, an angel spake of him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Thus he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. So here, at this moment, we see a glimmer of light. We see Jesus wrestling with the fact that he now faces an imminent death. And he says there, Father, save me from, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? He wants, as we all do, a little bit of comfort. Remember, he is God, but he is also man. He will feel every thorn. He will feel every smack, every whip. He will feel every nail. He will feel every hurting breath. He will feel that, and he knows it. And being the creator of man, he knows what it will feel like. He will also feel the crushing load as God loads and sins the world upon his shoulders. And he says, is it possible to do this without it? Just a rhetorical question, because he goes right back and he says right there, he says, but for this cause came I into this hour. He has come to this point for the very purpose of taking on that death, taking on that pain and anguish. And he says, Father, glorify thy name. I don't care, Jesus is saying, no matter what I feel, no matter how bad it is, Father, glorify your name, which means, Father, have people's eyes turned to you. And no matter what life brings us, no matter how miserable it may make us feel, if we are walking in the midst of the will of God, we must ask, Father, glorify your name. We all go and we join in and we read the book of Job, and we're so encouraged. We're so troubled too. How could God do this to such a man? But look at what it does. It helps us to glorify God. And so here's Jesus facing this problem, this pain, this suffering, and he says, Father, glorify. And at that moment it says that a voice came out of heaven
And it says, I have glorified it. You have glorified my name, and you will continue to glorify mine. God the Father has confidence in Jesus the Son. God the Father that has no flesh upon him, that believes that God the Son with the flesh upon him will persevere. He will overcome the flesh, and he will deliver himself, and he will glorify them. This voice is booming out. Not everybody can hear it. Not everybody can recognize it, because who's heard the voice of God?
Nobody.
What does the voice of God sound like? What language does he speak? But they heard something. And Jesus says, you know what? That voice wasn't to comfort me. That voice didn't come down here to speak of me. It came down to let you know. You people that are out there, you people that are going to crucify me, you people that have been following and seen all my people, so that you would know that God has a plan, and that he will lift all mankind to see the glory of his Son. He will help them to understand the glory of his Son. It's not just the Jewish people. It's not just the people living in Jerusalem. It'll be the entire world that God will lift up this name of Jesus above every other name. It will be that God that will be glorified. And he'll be glorified through the work that I'm about to do. And so, as is natural, the people that heard this say, you're going to glorify the Father, but yet you're going to die. And when we read the scriptures, it says Christ will go on eternally. So, I don't understand. How's that going to be? How can that happen? Right? And so Jesus goes and he addresses them. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. A little while the light is glowing in your heart. A little while you have glimpses of the truth. And what are you going to do with those glimpses of the truth, he says. And notice what he says there. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. So he's saying, okay, how many of you have ever been in a dark room? Right? And you get out your old flashlight and you go, clink, right? And you go and you're headed down the hallway to go see if the breaker's broken or something else, and all of a sudden the light goes out.
Yep.
And you're in darkness. And then you go, let's see, there's a wall there. I got to go about 15, and you put it in your mind, right? Because you can't see anymore. Today, this morning, right now, God is opening up a vision of the decisions he wants you to make. He does that every Sunday whenever the Word of God is presented. He does that every time you open up the Word. He gives you a little bit of light. And while the light is with you, are you going to use that light? Or are you going to say, oh, that's a nice light show over there. I kind of like that. That's kind of really nice and pretty. Instead of investigating, instead of looking into it, instead of allowing it to bring you changes, while the light is with you, we need to react. And so here he is, Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. I am going to suffer. You may not fully understand it, just as those people didn't understand how Christ could be eternal and yet still die. We may not fully understand it, but with the what God gives us here today, we need to walk with it. We need to carry it out that door, into our cars, over into our households. We need to sit down and say, Lord Jesus, how do I apply this truth that you showed me this morning? How do I get this to stick in my life? How do I get this to change me so that that old person that I was continues to shrink and this new person that I am in Christ Jesus begins to grow?
Amen.
How, Lord? You show me how. Show me the decision I need to make, because the time is now. You know what happens so more often than not? Is people come in, they listen to the message, they say, oh, that's good, that's interesting, and they never make a decision, and they wonder why they're not changing. It means that today, while the Holy Spirit is moving, while you hear the voice of God booming, even if it sounds like Pastor Rob, the voice of God is booming in your heart, and you need to say, Father, I'm making a commitment to follow through with this. Help me, help me, help me. Because you know what's going to happen the minute you go out that door. You're going to see the sunshine. You're going to feel a little bit of warmth, and all of a sudden, all that God has been speaking to you this morning kind of goes and melts away. Ah, that warmth. Especially, well, it's not really warm because the wind's blowing today. But it looks good out there. So, there's Jesus. And he says, while you have the light, follow the light. Believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things take Jesus departed and did hide himself. So what is that telling us? Here he is, booming voice, evident to everybody, and now he hides himself. What are they going to do with what they just heard? What are they going to do with what they just saw? What are you going to do with what you are hearing right now? What are you going to do with what you see in the scriptures? Are you going to allow God to thoroughly furnish you unto every good work through these words that are being spoken? Forget my words. Look at the words that are written down. Look at the words that God is speaking to your heart. Are you going to allow him to bring change? Or are you going to go, okay, I can't make higher sense of it, so I'm just going to throw it out. Let the Spirit of God stir you and move you to that decision that you should be making. He did hide himself from them. Let's deal with one more verse in there. Now is the judgment of this world. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You see, at that point, the truth was revealed. He is the Son of God. God spoke it. The people heard it. They had heard it several times now. They had heard it when Jesus was baptized. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. They heard it when Jesus was transfigured there before Peter, John, and who's the other person? Is it? Yeah, there were three of them there. James. Okay. And so he proclaimed it there. They've had these opportunities. The evidence has been put in front of them. They can't figure it all out. But the evidence is there. You're having the evidence of God's word put in your face right now, and you may not be able to fully understand it, but you're still held accountable. You're being judged upon what you're doing with this information that God has given you here today. So make sure that you make a solid decision for Jesus today on whatever he's stirring your heart. I don't know. I wish I could know. Well, actually, I don't want to know. It'd be too much for me to handle. All right? So, what approval are you looking for? Have you spent time looking for the will of God? Seeking to discover why God has made you the way you are? With your good points and with your bad points? Why? What is your purpose? Are you set on glorifying God's name or your name? Your kid's name, your team's name, your friend's name. What are you seeking to glorify? Jesus says, I glorify the Father by what he was willing to reveal to others. All men would be lifted up and come unto him because of his obedience. Let's take a look at the next section as we talk about seeing the light there in verses 37 through 43. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. How many of you have seen miracles of God? How many of you have seen things that you cannot explain by worldly explanations or by science? So you've seen miracles. You know that God works in strange and mysterious ways. These people had seen many miracles. They had seen him heal the blind. They had seen him make the mute speak. They had seen dead people rise. That just happened there in chapter 11 when Lazarus was raised from the grave. Little Tabitha. Raised from her deathbed. They had all seen these miracles. And it says that these miracles before thee, yet they believed not, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake of the Lord, saying, who hath believed our report? And this is out of Isaiah 44, verses 18 through 20. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, and that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So we talked about Jesus being the light of the world. We talked about the fact that he's exposing things and sharing things, but this is kind of like the other side of the coin. Here are people that are seeing the light, they're seeing the miracles, they're hearing the words of Jesus, and what do? They don't do anything with them. Oh, it goes in their ears. Maybe they contemplate it, but they don't do anything with it. Isaiah said the same thing of the nation of Israel. And now here Jesus is speaking the same thing about these people that are seeing the miracles that Jesus is doing, and yet they're not doing anything about it. Why? Because they love the praise of men. Ask yourself this. This morning, as the Spirit of God is revealing to you the light of what you should be doing, as he's applying the Word of God to your heart, are you afraid of what somebody else might think if you acted upon what you're being taught to do right now? Let's just say, this is only one example. It's the easiest example to come up with. But let's just say that today God burdened your heart, that you're going to go and you're going to grab one of those Friend Day flyers. And you're going to go over to that neighbor that you can't handle, that you actually kind of despise, and you're going to go over there and you're going to hand him that little flyer to invite him and say, "Will you come and be my friend on February the
5th.
5th. Thank you. I'm just seeing if you're awake.
Amen.
And so, but you say, "Well, he's going to think I'm weird, and besides that, I really don't like him." You see, we're more interested in what people will think of us. We're more interested in people will accept us. We're more interested in keeping our nice little bubble and not trying to reach outside of it, because we feel nice and comfy in our bubble, don't we? And so we don't respond to the light of what God is showing us right now. We are falling into the praise of men. It's going to destroy us. It's going to hurt us. It's going to keep us from growing. And you want to know why you're not growing in the Lord? It's because you prefer the favor of men, women, children, friends,
acquaintances,
rather than being obedient to what God is stirring your heart with right now. God may be saying to you, "I want you to start praying for the people I have put on your heart." You say, Lord, that really seems kind of repetitious. Isn't that vain repetitious, you see? Why? Because we're concerned about how others will perceive us. Sometimes we're even concerned that, well, maybe that person will get saved. That ornery little person. He doesn't deserve to be saved. You see, we want the favor of men. We're not willing to do what we should be doing with what God reveals, what he shines the light on in our lives to change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You should be having new habits develop in your life constantly. I was saved in 1978. You do the math. A while ago. Right? And I am so glad that I'm not that same person. And my wife's really glad I'm not that same person.
Amen.
Hey, you don't even know what that person was like. You just know the me. And I hope that even right now, as a pastor, you're seeing changes in me, because God keeps shining the light on me. He says, "Okay, you got that one that's kind of under control. Let's go focus. I don't want to focus over there, Lord. I want to stay over here. I'm making progress. I mean, why do you want me to put me over there where I'm going to stumble and fall?" You see, God is going to shine the light on your life. He wants to help you to grow. But you're going to have to be willing to say yes. You're going to have to be willing to make a decision. You can't just say, "Well, I'll think about it." No! Because what? the Spirit of God may just decide to leave you alone. He might decide to go into hiding because he gave you an opportunity and you said, oh, you didn't say no. He said, not now. And we wonder why our spiritual lives are so crippled. Folks, it begins with the now. It begins with what he's stirring you up about now. Stop making excuses. Say, Lord, I don't fully understand. Will you get a brighter light and shine it on that area so that I can begin to make... You see, I didn't say I was going to fix it, but I said, Lord, show me exactly what the problem is. Lord, show me what the root of the problem is. Because sometimes the problem is not grabbing the group, the part you see and breaking it off. It's the roots that are way down there with, you know, rooted in the rest of your personality. And God said, that's okay. We'll just wait for you to sprout again. All the time we're losing ground. And the roots are going deeper. And so now is that moment. And so we have Jesus telling him that they need to open their eyes. They need to listen to the report that they've been given and not love the praise of men. Verses 44 through 50 as we finish up this chapter. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So let's just take that part of it and let's talk about the fact that he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. You see, we look at Jesus and Jesus is God, but in this scenario he's still limited to the flesh, and so he says, I want you to believe in God in his fullness, not just in the limited form that I have here on earth. And we need to be ready to look at God in his fullness. We need to realize that God is not limited by physical circumstances. He is not limited by a body. He's not limited by what you think. He is God Almighty. He is capable of doing absolutely anything and everything he wants to. He could make a rock too big for him to lift. But he says, that's ridiculous. Why would I want to do that? Because if I made it big, then I could shrink it. God created this earth, right? And one of the arguments that the evolutionist or the scientists say is that, well, if God made this earth and the stars are out there, we wouldn't see the light of all the stars at that point, right? Because it takes millions of light years to get here, and we haven't had millions of years, according to the Bible, in this world. But if God had made everything, and they started, let's just take their Big Bang theory. I don't know why this came up. I'll finish up my thought. If we had the Big Bang theory, right, which says that everything was in a very condensed ball, it's a bunch of malarkey, but I'll use it as an illustration because this is what the world believes. And there's this dense ball of energy and cosmic dust and all this stuff, and all of a sudden it exploded. Boom! And it started expanding and going out. Well, at that point of origin, the light would already be there. And so now, as it expands, that light just continues to travel with it as it moves outward. They can buy that, but they can't buy the fact that God created this earth and he can create light. Boom. Just like we turn on a light bulb. Boom. We see it instantaneously. Unless it's these new lights. They kind of flicker before you go on. The old incandescent, boy, they were on right away, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're saving electricity. Anyhow, sidetrack. So it says, he that believeth on me, not on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. We're focusing on God in all of this. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Why has he come? Tell me, why has he come according to that scripture? Why has Jesus come?
Shed light.
That no man will abide in darkness. In other words, that means his light is all-inclusive. It's for everybody. He doesn't want anybody to abide in darkness. He wants to glorify the Father. He wants to point people to the Father. And so he's going to do that. He does not want anybody left out. But notice what it says.
If any man hear my words, this is tricky now, you got to follow me this. I'm just going to stay up here so I stay focused. If any man hear my words and believe not, okay, so in other words, you don't believe in the words of Jesus, what does Jesus say? I judge him not. So what is Jesus saying? You hear my words and you don't listen to them, makes no difference to me. Isn't that how you would interpret that? That's how I would interpret that. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In, I think I put it in here. Yeah. John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus did not come to condemn anybody. He did not come to hurt anybody. He came that the light might shine unto all people. And he says there, he says, I'm not judging you. Well, then how come people are going to hell? If Jesus, God isn't judging anybody. Well, pay attention now. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Okay, so there is somebody that is going to condemn you, right? You ready for this? Careful. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. You see, it's not Jesus who is condemning somebody. It's not Jesus that sends people to hell. It's not God that sends people to hell. It's their very own neglect of God's word. God is there shining the light to everybody. Everybody is able to see it. And they say, that's interesting. I could care less. And so the end result is, because they don't pay attention, because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not saved. If they're not saved, then there's only one other option. And that's the option that God has designed for man since man fell at the very beginning, that he would not have eternal life, that he could not eat of the tree of life, that his life would not be eternally in the presence of God. The cold, hard fact is, can you imagine life without God? Oh, that would be hell. You see what hell is? Hell is no presence of God. No blessing of God. No blessing of God on the just and the unjust. Just plain old no blessing. Take that out, and you've got misery. And so it is. That they will not be judged by God. God said, you are not deserving. No. They said, we don't want it. Okay, you don't want it? Fine. Have it your way. No God. And eternity is spent without God. Jesus has preserved his holy word. We have absolutely no excuse. Most of us have more than one copy of it in our houses. And those of you that don't have copies of it in your house, you have a copy on your phone, or you can get a copy on your phone and your iPad and your TV and in your YouTube channel and in Facebook. Those of you that have not friended me on Facebook, fine. But I will say that most of the things that I post on Facebook are a spiritual challenge. They're usually a pertinent thing that God showed me that day. And why do I put it out there? Because I want to know. I'm trying to encourage people. That is all I want to do. Because God has revealed his life to me. I'm now responsible to turn around and reflect it off my head, my shiny head. Somebody's been teasing me about my shiny head. So I figured I'd use it as an illustration. So, no man is condemned by God. He's condemned by what he doesn't do with what God shows him. It is his own doing. It's not God's doing, because God loves us. Every single person in this world. The most decrepit person, strung out on drugs for years upon end, the most horrific murderer, even Hitler, he loved. But they all said, don't need it, won't have it. And so whose fault is that? Jesus condemns no man. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day, and it'll be the word and what they've done with the word that will bring their final judgment. The Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, and what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. And if that was good enough for Jesus, don't you think that's good enough for us?
Yep.
Don't you think it's very important that we start taking this word and we start broadcasting this word? Because we don't want people going to hell because of our words. It's their choice. And thus, there's a whole slew of tracts in the back. Thus, we have Friends Day, where people you know, you can be confident, you can be 100% confident that if you bring someone here on February 3rd, they will hear the word. They will not be condemned by Rob.
Amen.
And I pray they will not be condemned by you. But their condemnation will be because they don't want to listen to the word.
Amen.
And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you understand? We need to be reflecting the light of God to all of those around us. That light is here. It is this book. It's not our arguments. It's not our theology. It's not our covenant. It's the Word of God. Let it shine. Let it be the beacon. It is the only thing that can change a life. And we need to speak it. If they have been exposed to the truth and don't use it, then whose fault is it when they fail? Not God's. Not the trainer. Not the trainee. By not responding to the light, we leave ourselves crippled and vulnerable. If you do not go to class and complete the training, whose fault is it when you can't complete the job that you were trained for? Jesus is not implementing his own truth, but simply verifying and explaining the truth that the Father had already laid out and explained in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, the Psalms. Nothing new. The light. He's trying to shine the light. It is all there. Jesus just held it up in to a different light and allows us to see it from a different angle. The responsibility in heaven or hell rests on